As you're listening to it in real time, the church has already prayed it for a few days. But this is the new part of the preface. I'll read the first part and then I'll note what's new. It is truly meet and just, right, and for our salvation that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God. Here's the new place. Who didst establish the salvation of mankind on the tree of the cross, that whence death came, thence also life might arise again, and that he who overcame by the tree also might be overcome. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, so the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that the devil used to overcome man, right, in the garden. And now we have the tree of the cross, which is the tree which God himself will use to overcome the devil. That's all it. And this preface, which it's a short thing, but it's very eloquent. It's very lovely. It's very typical of Latin at its best. It's got a beautiful, concise economy of words to it. I suggest you meditate on this part of the preface. It's gorgeous. That's a theme that many of the fathers picked up on: the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree that led to man's downfall, and the tree of the cross, which leads to which is the tree of life, right? Which leads to man's blessing and reverses what happened when we partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, the fruits of the tree of life is the blessed sacrament. It's Jesus himself, the blessed fruit of Mary's womb. Okay, so there's what else in this particular Mass? Just leaping ahead to the post-communion, let me note this. We pray, stand by us, O Lord our God, and protect your everlasting help those whom you have given new strength through your sacrament. So we're praying for protection, something that's very kind of proper to this theme. So there's Sunday's gospel. Now we're going to go to Monday now of the First Passion Week. The introit. Have pity on me, O Lord, for men trample upon me. All the day they press their attack against me. My adversaries trample upon me all the day. Yes, many fight against me. Have pity on me. So that's from Psalm 55. Again, we're seeing the hostility of our Lord's enemies against him. It's the cry of the just man. Again, the collect. O Lord, we beseech you, make holy our fasting and graciously lavish upon us forgiveness for all our sins. So there you go. The church is calling fasting holy. But of course, only if God makes it holy. It's not, again, it's not athleticism, it's Christian asceticism. And it has its holiness only if it's made holy by God, right? There's also a doctor of the church on that same Monday, St. Isidore, not the farmer, but St. Isidore, the bishop and confessor from Spain. Okay, but let's skip ahead and not be lost in the weeds. Lesson from the prophecy of Jonas. So here we have Jonas, the reluctant prophet who is given this straight. So he's a reluctant prophet. He's a prophet who's a Jew who's being sent to Gentiles. Of all people, in Nineveh, right? The Ninevites, this enormous city. And he's told, this is the guy, remember, who leapt out of the ship to get away from this mission, and who was, in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, the sea monster, whatever it was. Now he preaches through Nineveh saying this, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. Even the king gave an order. Going to the end, we see this. And God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, and the Lord our God had mercy upon his people. And it's funny because here in the prophecy of Jonas, the author is calling the Ninevites, who were pagans, God's people. Because by heeding the words of the prophet, they became God's people. Now, unfortunately, they didn't persevere in that very long, and Nineveh eventually was destroyed. We don't know much about that. But the fathers of the church tell us, and I believe it's a Jewish tradition, that the Ninevites didn't persevere very long in their conversion. But they stand as a type still here of people who heeded the word of a prophet, in this case a particularly reluctant prophet, and God blessed their penance. God turned away his wrath from them. Again, 40 days, right? Just like our Lent. The tract, O Lord, deal not with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our crimes. This should be something that we have on our mind, that we don't want to God to exact strict justice of us. We need his mercy, because if he extracted strict justice of us, we'd be damned. Okay, the gospel from John 7. I'm going to read just the beginning of it. At that time, the rulers and Pharisees sent attendants to seize Jesus. Jesus then said, "Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." The Jews therefore said among themselves, "Where is he going, that we shall not find him? Will he go to those dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What is this statement that he has made? You will seek me, and you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." By the way, elsewhere he says something similar, and they ask if he's going to commit suicide, if he's going to kill himself. Well, of course, where is he going to go? Well, first he's going to go into the belly of the earth. He's going to go into the limbo of the fathers after his death. And then, of course, he's going to ascend into heaven. So they can't follow him either into Hades or into heaven. But they're pursuing him, but they're not pursuing him, St. Augustine says, for good purposes. The faithful should pursue Jesus Christ as well. We should seek him and want to find him, but not for malevolent purposes. These guys are seeking him for malevolent purposes. Again, the Pharisees sent attendants to seize him. He got away from them this time, right? Eventually, they will, of course, catch him and have their way. And as our Lord said to those who came to arrest him, it is your hour. It is your time in the hour of darkness, right? So this is something that will happen when the sun is eclipsed, so to speak, during the Passion. Let me make a little note about the chronology of the Gospels here. John 7 isn't right on the eve of these events, but we are getting things that are sort of achronological in the Gospels, not because the church is giving us a strict chronology by giving us these pericopes from the Gospels, but simply that she's showing us the hostility of our Lord's enemies. It's not an attempt at strict chronology. All right, so there's John 7. Because keep in mind, we've already read from John 8 the day before this. This is Monday. Sunday we read from John 8. Offertory, return, O Lord, save my life, rescue me because of your kindness. Again, the cry of the just man seeking God's help. And the communion verse, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Every once in a while, during the Passion time, we get this turn towards God being glorious. So it's almost as if, even during Passion, even during the Triduum, it's as if we're looking at our Lord's suffering, and in the middle of that suffering, we're reminding ourselves that he is the King of glory. This man who's suffering is the Lord of hosts. This man who is hanging on a cross, who's bleeding, who seems helpless, he's the King of glory. That takes a profession of faith, and the kind of profession of faith that St. Dismas made on the cross when he said to a dying man, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Lord. Okay, so lastly, the prayer over the people for this Monday of Passion Week. O Lord, we beseech you, grant unto your people health of soul and body. Same thing, soul and body, right? Remember that? That by persevering in good works, we may always be worthy of your powerful protection. So good work, by doing good works, we don't make ourselves holy, but we dispose ourselves for God's powerful protection. So we're seeking to do good works, which is, remember, that's the works of mercy. That's the almsgiving that's enjoined upon us for Lent. So we move from Monday now to Tuesday of Passion Week, and the introit. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? So here the just man is encouraging himself to be stout-hearted, to have courage, and proclaiming that he's doesn't have anyone to fear because God's his light and his salvation.